We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jalen Ramsey had a lot to say about various quarterbacks around the league. He said, "You don't suck." How does it feel then?
To not suck. I never want to suck, so I don't want to be in that category.
Don't suck it.
There you go. Doesn't suck. So apparently Gronk spoke, and Tom Brady spoke. What else did Gronk say?
Any conversations with Jalen Ramsey this week?
No, I don't have his number. He doesn't have mine.
What are your thoughts about him saying stuff about you?
I mean, that's how he feels. I mean,
that's it?
You know.
That's it? That's how he feels?
No? That's it?
None of this. I'm going to throw you out the club. If you get your name out, get my name out your mouth. None of that? None of that stuff?
That was it, Ryan? It ended right there?
Okay, guys.
I'm just preparing like I always prepare. I got to just do my job out on the field and just worry about that.
Is that motivating you, bro?
I mean, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always motivation you're looking for. I mean, it does and it doesn't.
Wait, what?
So that's tricky right there. It doesn't give you the answer you're looking for. That was a trick question. You're trying to get me to say something, right? But it does and it doesn't. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because, I mean, it motivates you. You're hearing that. You know, obviously there's something out there that he saw on film and stuff that I could probably get better at football in certain categories. I mean,
and whatnot.
You don't always feel the best every single day when you're out on the field, so that's how he feels.
Sounds like beauty queen, that pageant with the girls, like, and then the Iraq and so forth. It's like he was
Osama.
Can we translate that in that Gronk is well aware of what he said? He's going to kick his ass on Sunday, but he doesn't want to say anything.
He's going to fire back.
Exactly.
It does.
That's what he's doing. Yeah. It doesn't. It doesn't.
No, no.
Get away with the war. Okay, you true. Get with trying to get away with it.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Very similar, by the way.
I love that quote because the music in the background makes it the greatest thing ever.
That's very similar.
So he says he pauses and he really wants to be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, but he can't.
Yes.
He
so he's like, you know, he knows
he'll get in trouble. The principal will call him in.
Nobody wants to hear. You know, especially if you're someone like Rob Gronkowski, someone say you're not good.
Right.
Nobody likes that. So that just sort of motivates you a little bit. But I expect a beast game out of him anyways. Don't you? You're better.
Yes. And I think this thing really pisses him off, and he can't say it. He knows he can't say it.
He's been told not to respond.
So he stumbles through that question. You know,
kind of hard.
No, it was funny because he finally realized that I've already said sure, so now I have to kind of finish this whole thing out. But sometimes it doesn't. Because sometimes I don't care.
You're looking for. I mean. It does and it doesn't.
He's a piece of work.
I love it.
He is.
I love it.
And he wants to. You know, he just wants to come out and say something. And he can. Want to throw him out of the club, and he can't.
Yeah.
He
got knocked out of the club.
Yeah, he did.
Last year. Yeah. I mean, actually, the last time he played.
So maybe that's motivation for him, that the last time he played against these guys, he got a concussion, and he was questionable for a while for that Super Bowl. So.
I tell you, it will be interesting, because if you're Jacksonville, right, and you're looking at it, and you got these two corners, Bouye and Ramsey, and you sit there and say, all right, I'm going to put one of you on Hogan, and one of you on Dorsett, and then we're going to put the rest of the team on Gronk. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I don't know. Run the football.
No, I'm serious. What would you do? I mean, you put the two best corners. You shut down. I mean, Hogan. You don't even have to put Bouye. You put your nickel corner on him. I don't know. But
I'm going to take my chances with James White lined up with linebackers as fast as their linebackers are. I'm taking my chance right there. I'm doing some of that.
But it doesn't. You know what I mean?
So last year's game was 24-20, right? So that's about as close as it could be.
That was a home game, and you have the Patriots winning in a double digit win on
10
the
points.
Road.
Yes. Wow. A double digit win doesn't necessarily mean blowout. I don't know. Blowout to me is 20 points. Yeah, 17 points.
You've already said Jacksonville will have real difficulty scoring in this game.
I think they score 10 points.
Does Fournette matter?
I'm
going to
go 20-10.
Does Fournette matter to you?
Fournette does matter to me, even though I think T.J. Yeldon is good, but I don't think he's nearly as good as Fournette as far as his physicality. So let's just say Fournette does play. He's got a slightly strained hamstring. What does that look like for you? For anybody,
for
really?
So what do you got?
Slightly
20 strained? To 10?
75.
20
to 10. Yeah.
Early Wednesday prediction. 20
yeah.
to 10.
Yeah. 20 to 10.
I go 20-17.
And that last touchdown comes on like the last drive, to kind of 4-minute drive just to close it out. The Jacksonville defense is just physically, they're just giving up because their offense not giving them anything. Then they start talking crap about each other.
20-17, Jacksonville.
What did he say? What did Jalen Ramsey say about Blake Bortles? Like, he was ranking all the quarterbacks. Oh, this guy sucks. That guy sucks. He said Blake Bortles does Blake Bortles things. Like, he just does his thing, right?
He could say he sucks. It's his own team. He does it.
Doing Chris Hogan thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it was like he does and he doesn't. It's like kind of like a Gronk quote. Like, does he suck? Well, he does and he doesn't.
That was a trick question. You're trying to get me to say something.
Yeah,
right?
Sometimes he sucks and sometimes he doesn't.
He can't burn his own guy.
They all know, the defensive players all know, that he is the reason why they have the most vanilla offense. Like, what's more vanilla than vanilla? Like, what would it be like a vanilla?
Vanilla bean?
Vanilla, the bean that it comes from? That's what it'd have to be.
Double vanilla.
It's so easy. It's so predictable. It's easy to defend. What an easy mental week of practice that defensive players have.
All right. Teddy Bruschi will join us here in about 10 minutes. Talking about predictable, it was quite predictable that they were out there. The Green Teamers were all over Lou, one in particular.
We're doing this now?
Cool. Yeah, we're doing it now, and then we're going to get to...
Why are we doing it now?
Because we're...
No, I know. That's a bad idea. That's a bad move by you.
What's your problem?
It's a bad move by you.
When's Teddy coming in?
He's coming in like 5-10 minutes. Why are you going to basketball right now?
We're not doing a long version of this. We're doing a short little segment of this thing.
It deserves more
time. When do you want to do it? How about 6:15?
I agree with Christian.
How about hanging around until 6:15? We'll do it at 6:15.
I agree with Christian.
He wants to kind of...
just go told. We're gonna go to break in 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's like, oh, let's
Teddy
start
Bruschi.
This conversation. Then
he wants to get
Teddy.
Lou all irritated and then just throw it a break and let him sit there.
Why are you looking at me like?
Because I want to do. Like,
you know what?
Four
I know you're. I know you're a legend, right? You're a so-called legend. Like, at least that's what you call yourself.
Legend.
Like,
this right here.
I know. Okay. Listen, we all make mistakes. It's okay. You're driving drunk right now. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, what do you want to do?
Put your blinker on.
I'll tell
you
what.
You see the story about Paul McCartney and John Lennon sitting around a circle?
You were wondering what he said about Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah.
And he said that Blake do what he got to do.
Yeah, that's basically.
Excuse me?
Blake do what he got to do. In crunch time moments like last year's playoff game, basically we didn't trust him. So Blake do what he got to do.
Blake do what he got to do. Yeah. What the hell does that mean? Blake do what he got to do.
I don't know.
He doesn't do it real well.
Playoff Blake is good. People can say whatever they want, but playoff Blake is good.
No.
Yeah, he says we kind of got complacent and conservative, and I think that's why we lost.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
just named it.
Yeah, but we were talking about this yesterday.
We started running it on first and second down, really just first down.
Why?
Throwing it on third down every single time we were out there. The Patriots caught on to that. Of course they did. It was so easy obvious.
But they have to do it because they're fearful that Blake Bortles is going to cough up
the
football.
Well, all I'm saying is they didn't do it in the first half. And they gave him easy passes, simple looks, got rid of the ball quick. He made accurate throws. And if there was ever a moment in Blake Bortles' life where he actually had a little bit of confidence, it was in that game.
Yeah.
Because it certainly wasn't the game before, if you remember right. We were shredding him left and right.
That got his contract extension.
Right, so that game there in that first half, he was doing everything he needed to do. And after watching that for a half, and you shut it down and still don't trust him, then you never will.
Except I would say this, that I think Bill Belichick, and at the time, Matt Patricia, who they can't stand in Detroit, probably figured some of that stuff out. And you knew that in the second half, Blake Bortles was going to revert to Blake Bortles. And that's the problem they have.
You know what?
But they signed him. Hey, listen, they went with him, and I have great respect. Tom Coughlin's done a terrific job in turning that thing around down there. But they're putting all of their chips right now in Blake Bortles.
Well, so you're looking at that, and you're thinking about it. And so Nathaniel Hackett, their offensive coordinator, I guarantee this is what it's going to look like, Saturday night when he unveils the top the first 15 plays. Right? He has them all charted and scripted. And you, as most coaches, you know, just like we're in grade school, they unveil the first play first, so you don't see what the other ones are. It'll be every single time. It's going to be a pass on first down. Hey guys, we got to be aggressive. We got to be aggressive. You saw what happened with Philly. You saw what happened to us last time. Okay, we got to be aggressive. We are going to break our tendencies. They are not going to know what we are doing. First down play. Bam, here comes a pass play. Not a play action pass, though. We are unleashing you guys. That is what he's going to try
but
to
I
do.
But I think they were conservative. There's no question. But maybe they take a little bit too much heat for that. When you have a defense that they had, you know, what are we going off of? The year before, everyone's shredding Dan Quinn, the Atlanta Falcons, for the way they handled that 28-3 lead. Right, dropping back, strip sacks, and here he is in the AFC title game. So what, you know, so we're ripping them for running the football. We're ripping Quinn for passing the football. We're ripping Pete Carroll for throwing the football. So it's basically you just went up against the Patriots, and they went up against a great defense, and you still couldn't stop them in the second half. That's what happened. You had a great defense. You couldn't stop them.
All right, we're going to talk to Teddy Bruschi, then we'll open up the phone lines, and then we'll tell you about the little trolling job that they did, the Green Teamers did on Lou. We'll do that later on, 620, 630, something like that. 617-779-7937.
You heard me, right? You heard my voice, right?
We did. Time for our guy, Teddy Bruschi. It's being brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Teddy?
That was awesome.
Right, wasn't it? Brought back some memories. Huh? By the way, for a guy that lectured everybody to stay off of Twitter, you're on Twitter an awful lot now.
It took me a decade in the media, you know, to sort of try to get a handle on it. But you know, once in a while, I'll tweet something out there. Yeah,
they're actually pretty good at it too. Yeah. I'm like, I still don't really know how to use the retweet with comment or quote, and you know, at mention this guy and do this. But you're quick.
Teddy
study.
Can teach you.
Oh, you know, he's the Arizona grad.
I give you a shout out. I give you a shout out for you once in a while, man.
No, you know? I saw it today. I need a friend.
He does need a friend, you know. So it's nice of you to kind of call in.
I saw that. Yeah, man.
All right. So last week we talked about the aggressiveness of that Patriot defense and some of the young guys over there. What was your take?
Yeah, you couldn't have had a more positive, you know, day for the Patriot defense in terms of what they did. Now, I will say this. Sometimes when quarterbacks have an entire offseason to hear things and think about who they want to be and who they want to emulate, sometimes they go out there and look confused. And that's what I saw with Deshaun Watson, him not really knowing who he was in terms of how he had his success last year, and you know, him sort of sitting in the pocket and then settling in the pocket, thinking he could just settle there and be Tom Brady-like or a pocket passer, like he had something to prove. That was strange to me, and it was good to see the Patriots rushers just take advantage of it, because a quarterback that's not used to standing back there and having his first read taken away like they were doing, I said, you take away DeAndre Hopkins, get him off that read, and then he has to be a quarterback. That was the plan. That's what they did in a very, very different ways. You know, whether it's slooping out to him underneath, over the top, double team. However, but when the target ratio is so skewed in terms of who a quarterback likes to throw to, that's what you do and try to make him be a quarterback. Then he holds the ball, and here comes the rush.
Yeah, another guy that kind of stood out, a lot of people are falling in love with quickly, is Juwan Bentley. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, it's rare, really. I mean, Gerard Mayo came in as a 10th overall pick. And for me, Gerard was one of those linebackers that was rare in terms of, as soon as he came in, whatever they threw at Gerard, he was able to pick it up and process it intellectually, a very smart player. A rookie linebacker in a system like this that, you know, as the year goes, I'd like to see if he still has the same amount of success, because game plans can change from a down-to-down basis. But like Bill was saying with you guys, he's earned every snap that he's gotten, and he's performing well. So to see a young player like this is rare for me. I know I saw it with Gerard, but to see it again with this guy is nothing but positive, because any type of insurance you can have, you want Hightower around all the time. All right, you want him every down, as much as you can have him for all 16. But it like it hasn't happened every year, so those maybe, hopefully it's just maybe 2-3 games that High maybe misses because of a soft tissue injury or something like that. You can have faith in your depth because of what Bentley's doing.
You know, Teddy, a lot of, I mean, for me personally, I love the pass rush, right? 12 quarterback hits, 3 sacks, and they didn't even have to blitz a guy. But I'm just curious, you, for years, we've always talked about this bend but don't break. I think Patriot fans like to see maybe go after the quarterback at times rather than sit in the pocket for a while. You as a player, I'm sure you knew why you were doing the bend but don't break, but was there ever a time you said, let's just go get this guy?
You want to pressure him at times. You want to be turned loose at times, which you never really are as a rusher in a four-man front for the New England Patriots system, because when you go up against a guy like a Deshaun Watson or a Blake Bortles this week, the ability to scramble, and, I mean, Blake Bortles is 6'4", 6'5", like 236 pounds. It's like you got a tight end back there that's throwing the football. So he's going to have to be another one that's going to have to, they're going to have to corral and think about rush lanes. Deshaun Watson's the same way. I mean, you'll never be free to just do what you want to do, because Bill Belichick believes this: the worst position in football is 3 yards behind the quarterback, because basically you're out of the play and it's like you weren't even lined up. So they coach very hard to defend those 6 gaps that you have to defend with 4 guys when you're rushing 4 guys in terms of escape routes for a quarterback. So it's easy to say, just turn me loose, coach, and let me go. And then you're talking about, well, that's undisciplined. That's just something they don't do.
I know you've been talking about Matt Patricia and his debut, the worst I think I've ever seen on TV. But the reaction is unbelievable. It's one game, and he seems to be trying to change the culture of the organization. Is it possible when you have so many people that seem to be going in the opposite direction, Teddy? And there seems to be some media people who are getting some little birdies in that locker room that are talking to them.
Yeah, especially if you have a belief or a person that's in contrast to the person that was there before in Caldwell. I mean, that type of attitude. And so you're going from, you know, very similar to, is it, it's easier to go from, I mean, it's, I mean, you went from, I remember going from Pete Carroll to Bill Belichick, and, you know, thing, that type of dynamic. And what really helps you is getting that first win as a head coach. Is that's going to get you, that's going to help you a lot. But to hear if there are players, you know, sort of talking behind your back about it being too hard and not them liking the way it is. And you got to find who those players are, and you got to solve that quickly as a head coach, because that's what you don't want. Because with every loss, it's only going to get worse. And Detroit, not really a city that's used to winning. And so once they keep losing and losing, that loser mentality comes out in the media. That loser mentality comes out in the fans. It comes out with the players, and all of a sudden, they're finger pointers. They're not thumb pullers. That's all they do is point. Who is it? Who is it? Well, you're the new guy. It's your reason why. So that's what losing franchises do, losing cities do, and they need a guy like Matt Patricia that can turn it around, because I think he can.
So, yeah, and to me it seems to be that it's like the players don't, they don't have respect for him. Like, he hasn't, like, Matt Patricia hasn't earned their respect, and I don't know how that's going to come about. Maybe winning is it. What does the coach have to do? What do you have to see, let's say, in that first 6 months since that coach was hired into the first 3 weeks of the season to let you know, okay, I'm going to respect this guy and at least give him a chance?
Yeah, and first of all, those players there that are maybe have that thought in their mind, what have they done for him to respect them in terms of any type of consistent winning or playoff victories or anything like that? There's not much of that over there either. There's been individual success with players, but that's about all. So, but in terms of what a head coach needs to do is, in times like this, when there is a loss, all right, when there is a lot of people, you know, jumping off the bandwagon, if you will, or they're applying pressure to the head coach, how are you going to act now? How are you today in the Wednesday team meeting? And are we still just pushing on, moving forward to our next opponent? That's important for a player to see, that it doesn't affect you. It doesn't change you. I think you get respect that way without getting the win. But getting a win is the first time that you'll probably, you know, force those players to see what I'm doing works. Respect what I'm doing. And, you know, maybe it'll take a win for some of those players, because this is a team that hasn't been very successful.
Yeah, we were talking about maybe bringing guys in, right? We were talking about Anthony Pleasant, when Bill brought him in, to have that guy, Pepper Johnson, to have that credibility in the field to say, guys, you know, buy in. This will work. I've seen it before. And he doesn't seem to have those guys that are, well, those buy-in moments with anybody to kind of lead that team.
Yeah, Lou, I heard you. I was listening, and I heard you say that, and I thought that was a great point because I remember having Pepper Johnson, not as a player, but as a coach.
Yeah.
Even as a coach in our linebacker room, and when we if we were going through some times where there was a little bit of strife within a team, Pep had our had that time with us in the linebacker room, but he would say, "Hey, listen, this is what Bill's trying to do. This is what he means, and this is where this is why this is happening like this." And so to have that coach even that could, I mean, translate or talk to us at a different level was really important for us to start to understand. And almost you had that ally as a coach that also played for him that you knew that the guy was talking about, wouldn't know what he was talking about. You respected him as a player. It helped me personally to have Pepper Johnson, a guy like Pepper Johnson there, the early years of Bill Belichick.
All right, what's your take on this game? Fourier's got it as a blowout already.
Hey, shut up, okay? You're not having it as a blowout. The man's listening to this show. He knows you're a liar.
Teddy, it's amazing. He's picked the Patriots 11-5 this year, and I think he's going to pick them to win every single week. I'm not sure he's good at math. but what's your take on this one?
That's all right, Fourier. I told you I was coming to help you out, man. The best Blake Bortles I've seen are in games where he drops back to pass, he looks at his first read, and then he takes off. And I think that's what Bill was referencing earlier in this week where, you know, it is sort of Deshaun Watson-like, Cam Newton-like. Well, maybe more, I mean, those type of big scrambling quarterbacks. But when he knows he's in a game, I've seen him to where that's not there, and I'm just going to run because I'm big and I'm fast. And really, sometimes he's a better runner than he is a thrower, in my opinion. So to move the chains that way to get 10, 11 yards, I think if they prevent that, they're going to be fine because if Fournette has that hamstring injury and he's not there, their play-action game isn't effective. Fournette isn't, you know, if he even plays. Because week two, you got almost like the Aaron Rodgers injury, and now the Leonard Fournette, the twinge of the hamstring. I mean, one little burst, you know, one quick little burst, and you get that thing one more time, and now it's like, okay, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And you really don't want that to happen. You know, so Jacksonville, I mean, they did well last week, so I don't know what their thinking would be, but as long as the Patriots, I know the Gronkowski thing's huge offensively, but, I mean, I just still think, like you said, Glenn, they put those corners on those wide receivers outside, and then they put everybody else on Gronkowski, and then Brady's gonna hit those backs, like you said. So the Jacksonville Jaguars have a solid team. Don't get me wrong, but I think the Patriots are going to have their way with them.
Yeah, you know, so the one thing I'm looking at that just is like stands out more than anything is just how predictable they are. Even going back to the second half of the AFC Championship game last year, every first down play was a run. And if it wasn't a run, it was a play-action pass, so they still get this, the defense still gets the same look. And then by the time you know, the Patriots take the lead, then it's an obvious passing situation. So I think if I'm Nathaniel Hackett, if I'm the offensive coordinator, I have to somehow break my tendency, and I have to be consistent and be willing to stay with that game plan until the end. Otherwise, they're just going to tee off.
Yeah. And I can, I agree with you. And you know what I see also? I see the Baltimore Ravens when back in the day when they had those defenders that talked all the time, and when things went bad, they were throwing flags or they're blaming officials, and it was never their fault because their offense was struggling or whatever it may be. So watch the offense struggle because there is no Fournette for Jacksonville, and then all of a sudden the Patriots get a call. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are very aggressive, just like last year in the championship game, I believe, a couple pass interference penalties, and all of a sudden they get on themselves that everyone's out to get us, the officials, the Patriots. It's easy to get caught up in that when you're on a defense like this that has volatile personalities. I see that a little bit in them. So watch the lack of self-control if this thing really gets out of hand in terms of penalties for the Jacksonville Jaguars too, because what they really have to do is, I mean, even when the Patriots have their success, that offense really for that Jaguar team, it's going to have to pull its own weight because Odell Beckham Jr. is running around free out there, even though Jalen Ramsey's on him. I mean, the Steelers last year, the Patriots. I mean, there were teams that had their way with this Jacksonville defense late in the season. They've got great individual players. And usually, Bill, when he's going up against great individual players, he'll mention they got six Pro Bowlers on one side. That really means nothing to him, actually. So let's see how they can play once, you know, if things start getting bad for them and they have to keep it together in terms of scoring points.
Yeah, you know, so last one. And so the Pats, I mean, the Jaguars are kind of like Houston. The Patriots have owned Houston. And the Patriots are 11-1 all-time versus the Jags. Do you remember the last time the Patriots lost to the Jaguars?
Was Zolak quarterback?
Probably. That was probably why. That was probably why. Five interception game.
Do you know, or are you just taking a stab figuring it had to be Zolak?
Yeah, because I think there was a playoff game down
there. Yeah, wild card.
Yeah, when Bledsoe was hurt. And the thing was, if we survived that game, I think it was, this is totally off the top of my head, fellas. If we survived that game, Drew would have been back the next day, but we lost in Jacksonville. That's, I mean, if I'm incorrect, I could be mistaken.
That's 1999. That's, so Zolak let you guys down.
Yeah.
He
usually does.
Yeah. All he's doing making jokes or something. I don't know.
He's going to be pissed.
I'll tell you what, you keep loading up to beat a team, and you beat them you lose in the AFC Championship game, and then you play them again in week two, whatever it may be. You start planting that seed into that team that it just can't be done. And watch that seed continue to grow and grow, because I've seen it many times where there are teams that just start playing, so would play us, so they're playing the New England Patriots, and the first thing that goes wrong, all of a sudden, you know, the wheels fall off. It can get that way if the Jaguars lose this game. I mean, they'll start to think that, man, is there any way we can beat this Patriot team to get to the Super Bowl?
All right, Teddy, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Go back to tweeting.
All right, fellas.
See ya. 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. Quick break. We're right back at you live at Fenway.
One of the things he said is that when you face an elite corner, your catch percentage goes down from 71% to 56%. I mean, what do you think about that?
That's some good percentages still. I mean, I don't really go into statistics like that, and I just got to play ball. That's basically all. I got to come out and play ball.
Hey, Gronk's got a lot in common with you when it comes to math. You know, did you notice that?
11-5.
Good percentage. By the way, Rex Burkhead did not practice today. Concussion.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's like, really
it was like,
not
you
good.
Know, concussion.
How quickly do you clear protocol? You know, how quickly can you get tested and evaluated and then say, okay, you're fine? And when did he get concussed? Do you remember him getting dinged and just walk? I guess, it doesn't have to be an obvious one.
A day later, you could feel it too.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a, you know, a normal hit that you see all the time. A hit they've been trying to get out of the league that they used to throw flags for.
Yeah,
now they don't do it anymore.
Nothing big. A limited participation. Four guys. Cannon, Ebner, Jacob Hollister, and Sony Michel was limited. Leonard Fournette did not practice. Again,
it'd be nice to actually see Sonny Michel play.
That
would be nice.
Well, especially with Rex Burkhead now with the concussion. Yeah. Maybe he's not available. What are you down
to? Can we just say Fournette's not going to play? And even if he does, because Teddy hit on it a little bit, because if he's not 100%, do you run the risk of throwing him out there in a week two game knowing that you can possibly lose him?
How hot is he going to be in Jacksonville?
Hot. 90.
So, you know, 90. Dehydrated. Hammy.
Humid. Just like the trending now you keep talking about, like the weather it is here, just like add like, you know, a big chunk of humidity into it, and then that's your weather. And sunny.
Well, yeah, wonder, you know, if they sit there and say, listen, there's no reason. I mean, I know it's the Patriots, it's a big game, we're 1-0, but as you point, we've talked about hamstrings before. I mean, those things,
it's so unpredictable.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep it right where it is and making sure it's not a problem, because now you're not talking about a month and a half with those things, especially for a running back.
All right, we got to get to this Dez Bryant story.
Right,
I'm just transitioning you guys.
Yeah,
I just
long pause, snort or something.
What? How's that? Is that better?
Make sure, yeah. Let us know you're alive.
I feel like I'm working with Tomasi.
Is
Dez Bryant just making all of this crap up. We talked about it yesterday. So they bring in a couple of wide receivers. Dez Bryant is not one of them, and we're all looking at it saying he must be demanding too much money and the Patriots aren't going to touch him, because every time somebody is asked, one of these analysts on TV are asked a question, do you know, you bring in a Corey Coleman or do you bring in a Dez Bryant? Oh, Dez Bryant's a better player. Dez Bryant. So Bryant is in Dallas last night at AT&T Stadium at the Beyonce Jay-Z concert, by the way, with Jerry Jones. Mm, so people are coming up to him.
Wait, maybe, like they go together or they just see each other?
No, I think they saw each other at the the concert. And so people
were sitting in his box.
Yes. So they were asking the question, "Woo, is he back with the Cowboys?" And Dez Bryant is telling people there that, no, he's more likely to go to the New England Patriots. Matter of fact, his line was, I'm probably going to New England.
Okay, can we just be done with this already?
Is he making this up?
Yes, he is. Because he knows how far that is from reality, that he's just playing it up. He's just having fun with it. Yeah, oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna be in New England. You imagine that, a single cover on me, you got double 87, you got Julian Edelman over here, and you got Tom Brady, greatest quarterback in the world. I mean, come on. That is what he's gonna play in the league.
Well,
this year.
Does he have somebody in New England that might like just sit there and say, hey man, if you want to float things out there, so be it. Maybe, I don't know, speed up the process so you can find a job.
He doesn't have a job.
But that's what I'm saying. But you know, just I'm gonna sign with New England. What are they waiting for?
Money. Money to drop. But the only thing I could think of, Lou, and we talked about this yesterday, is his agent wants guaranteed money, and Belichick and the Patriots are sitting on. Yeah,
we'll bring
him in, but
you're
it's all
on the roster
we'll
per
see.
Game, our roster right. bonus, all these other
right.
things.
And he may have nowhere Snap else counts. To go. 2-3 weeks from now, he may have nowhere else to go and come back to New England and say, I want to play.
Yeah, but think about the teams that he's. So a team that's out of, because in the next maybe 4 to 5 weeks, you're going to automatically know which teams are in contention and what teams are basically said, okay, we're 0-1 whatever, we're 0-5, we're 0-6, or 1-6. We're not going to make the playoffs. So you don't bring a Dez Bryant to that team. You know, you don't bring a Dez Bryant to that team. You start developing and playing your younger players or your quarterbacks in and out. Forget about that. So the pool, the options are diminished. So you sit there and go, okay, who's in the playoff hunt? Who has an injury situation? Who desperately needs a wide receiver?
He sits there last Sunday hoping, like at some of these teams, right? He's watching like Minnesota. He's like, okay, hopefully Diggs or Thielen goes down, right? Or he's watching Green Bay. He's like, I know Rodgers banged up. Maybe Davante Adams will go down. Or one of their guys, Allison or Cobb, will go down. So one of these teams that are good, he's actually probably sitting there like waiting for one of these guys to get hurt so that team calls him up. Because you're right. I mean, 0-6, a team that's...
No, you're not bringing Dez Bryant in.
No, a bad team is not going anywhere. You're not going to bring him in.
No, it makes sense.
So his options are diminishing as we speak. Every single week, somebody goes through, doesn't get hurt. Your options are getting fewer and far between.
And then you got Le'Veon Bell, who's holding out for till week 10, and then he's going to play. Did you see the whole story with him at the club Monday night?
Yes, South I Beach, did. He was in Miami, club. Yes. Okay, so what? Big deal. He's partying. The whole New York Giants receiving corps went down. That turned out right? Well, with the first playoff game, didn't they win that game?
Well, I was not listening to Pittsburgh radio today because I was busy listening to Detroit. He was not
Tim
listening Benz. To Pittsburgh. But could
That's
you imagine?
The 11
could you
to 12 hours, isn't it?
Yes, could you imagine what the Pittsburgh people are talking
They're
about?
They're a mess.
And
that Steelers team is a mess.
He's in a strip joint down in South Beach.
That team is a mess. From Antonio Brown, I don't know if you guys have seen, he's like basically calling out or basically threatening another reporter on Twitter, and Mike Tomlin is having to address these tweets, these Twitter threats from Antonio Brown while he's doing his press conference.
That's what Matt Patricia needs to do. He needs to call in his team right now and say, listen, guys, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. But did you see they took Le'Veon Bell completely off their depth chart?
Sorry.
Just, you know, that's just a petty thing, right? But just almost just like, you're an afterthought.
Put it back in week 10. I wrote about that on WEEI.com.
He must be
the only Pittsburgh guy I listen to.
Is that your boy, Tim? Well, a big part of what goes on in Pittsburgh, though, isn't it Mike Tomlin? I mean, usually the team reacts as far as culture or whatever based on how the coach deals with it.
But Tomlin's been telling his players this stuff all the time, and nobody ever listens. Well, I should say Antonio Brown doesn't listen. I guess a lot of Mike Pouncey doesn't listen. I mean, a lot of their guys don't listen. That is an odd mix. Because you would think Tomlin is kind of a hard ass. You know, he's kind of...
We'll be ready for that.
Yeah. You get this all the time. And we sit there and go, oh, his players aren't respecting, you know, Matt Patricia. If I was sitting in a meeting room and Mike Tomlin started big time and puffing his chest up talking like that, it would be so hard for me not to laugh. Are you serious right now? You realize I'm not in high school, and this is not our biggest. This is not the Thanksgiving game.
Roethlisberger too with the elbow now, right?
Yes.
Sore elbow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a lot of things going on over there.
Well, let's just say that you could probably. Did anybody have the Steelers doing anything this year?
No, I had the Ravens winning the.
Yeah, the Ravens.
North,
right?
Remember that?
Yeah, the Ravens too. Yeah, that's your team.
You have, them winning the AFC. I think
correct.
Some people have them winning the division, but you had them going
very,
all the
way
very
few. Very few are willing to take that type of risk.
Yeah. I have the Patriots,
and no one's puffing their chest after one win against Buffalo.
No,
look at them. Look
nobody.
At them.
Nope.
You say something about a team. It's only 1 week, but when it comes to Baltimore,
I got the Patriots going 11-5 and winning the Super Bowl.
And winning every game this year, too, by the way.
I got them going 11-5 and winning every game.
Why aren't we talking about 16-0? All
right, let's take some phone calls here. Steve and Totten. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
I'm just calling in with the conspiracy theory that
good.
If we don't hire Dez, then Kaepernick has no case.
How does that work? Colluding against him also.
Yes.
Oh, did he take?
Well, that would be double collusion, wouldn't it?
Double secret collusion?
Yeah, that wouldn't eliminate the collusion in the. Oh, there you go.
That would prove the NFL's got a problem.
Yeah,
love you guys.
Right.
I love you too.
That was weak.
That's confused on that one. Here's Paul in Westfield. Hi, Paul. Paul in Westfield. Oh, this stupid thing's not working again. Paul,
there you
go ahead.
User error.
Yep.
A good craftsman never blames his tools.
Nice to see you, gentlemen. I'm just learning the buttons after a decade plus. How are you?
Yeah, right?
I like this guy.
What's up?
Glenn, I have two bones to pick with you today. I appreciate your zest and your zeal and your enthusiasm. But
thank you very much.
I swore I was having audible hallucinations that you were trying to make sense of this, that Tom Brady is paid 16th or 20th or a lot less than everyone else in the value. I was shocked what you said, how much Rodgers has been. I almost fell out of the chair. $65 million? What? However, my friend, hats off to the crafts. They know how to negotiate and get a value. And when it's J.D. Martinez, the ultimate value, you're not complaining about that. So what's going on there?
What?
I don't have a clue what he is talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Are you merging two sports? He's merging two
sports. I have
sports
no idea what he's talking about.
Oh, geez, here we go with this bit again. Okay, real simple. You talk about Tom Brady. Tom Brady makes the 16th paid quarterback, how much he makes a lot less than other players.
Yeah.
And you object to that terribly, like it's a bad thing that Kraft negotiated and got a good value, as opposed to Martinez.
When did I do that? When did I make that big pitch? I don't remember that.
You're always making that pitch. It's all Tom didn't get enough.
I bitch about Kraft not paying Tom Brady enough money?
He never bitches about Kraft.
When did this happen? I didn't know. So what was the comparison you were making?
And as opposed to J.D. Martinez, who literally is probably
free
the
agent.
Best value we've ever gotten for what he's produced, for the money we paid him, God bless him.
And what have I not said that? He was a free agent, though. That was the market, what the market would bear. He tried to go elsewhere. Boston had thrown the first deal at him, and he sat around for months waiting for it because nobody else was going to give him any more money. That was money in the open market. If Tom Brady had gone in the open market, it might be a different story, right?
Oh, that would be fun to see.
Yeah,
I would love to see. I would love to see what that would look like. We're talking Reggie White all over again, the free agent tour, back when free agency first started. Imagine Tom Brady on the open market. Oh, he would have to be, you know, after this season. He's got at least 2 years, maybe the third year is a throwaway, something like Warren Moon. Or if he goes the way, if his career is patterned after Joe Montana, you would have 2 years at another team that is a quarterback away like the Kansas City Chiefs, who ended up going to the AFC Championship game but ended up losing. That would be basically, you know, worlds colliding, everything coming full circle.
They throw the tag on him. Never happened.
That's right.
It would be nice to think about what he would get.
I'd be curious to see what
he's
like.
Right
so
now,
would he get $30 million a year?
He might get that with the tag.
Yes,
he'll get that with the tag.
Well, no, yeah, because
it'll
it's
be
a combination. It's a
No,
so
but you,
that's
Tom
fine,
Brady
but
would probably sign a 2-year, $60 million, fully guaranteed.
Yes,
sure.
I mean,
Kirk Cousins can get a guaranteed.
His age is his age. Right. He's not going to get a 5-year deal.
Will the Patriots do that when they can do what you just said? They have him for one more year after this, and then they can throw the franchise tag, which might be 30.
I was going to say, given what the salaries are of these quarterbacks, what is that going to be?
30.
It's going to be a
by the time two years from now, 30. 35, 40.
Maybe. So why would you give him a 2-year deal when you don't have to?
He'll still be the eighth highest quarterback.
He'll still be a top 10 quarterback, which is crazy.
Eighth paid. I'm saying,
that's true too.
Some idiot's going to make 40, and you're going to sit there and say, "What?
Glenn can get his wish, and Jimmy Garoppolo will be the next quarterback.
There it is.
I'm telling you, you know what? People are laughing at that. I heard Reamer was laughing. First of all, Reamer actually thinks that NFL players fulfill all the years of their contract. He doesn't realize it's not how it works in the NFL. So if a guy's got a 5 or 6 year deal, they don't.
Was that his argument?
He said he's got a five year deal. He's got to stay there 5 years. He thought he was going to be traded by San Francisco. I never said traded. I said 3-4 years from now, he's not going to be worth that type of money, and New England will take him back. He's got to be one of the top quarterbacks to maintain that type of salary, correct? If you're San Francisco, yes. You're paying him that type of money, he's got to be one of the better quarterbacks. If he's middle of the rung or lower than that, you're going to dump him. He's available. New England will pick him up. That was the point I was trying to make.
They call me the Phenom, Alex Reamer.
I don't think it was an outrageous, take. And it was hilarious how some people, overreacted. But this whole idea that he's got a 5-year deal and they're not going to let him go. You don't know what that's going to be like 2-3 years from now. He may be vastly overpaid. 617-779-7937. Another hour to go. Alex Cora will join us as well over here at Fenway.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.